Here's Paul speaking to Timothy, and he's giving him some good advice on some things he needs to do in his life. Let's pick up in verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Before we pray, let's straighten that out. I don't want anybody to get confused this morning. You can't save yourself, nor can you save anybody else. Jesus does that. But he's talking in the end of this verse in chapter 16, saving yourself. He said if you'll stay the old time way, the way that you was taught, the way that you know to go, he said you will save yourself and people that hear you from the things in verse number 1, which Paul says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils, called prophets, evil spirits. He said that's what you'll save yourself from. We want to straighten that out. Didn't want anybody to get the wrong idea this morning. Would you pray with us and for us this morning? Father, we come to you sure thankful for this day. Lord, we sure thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your grace. God, I pray as we stand before you this morning, Lord, and before this church. God, I pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Lord, help us to be emptied of self. God, for it ain't our message that'll do anything. It's your message that needs to be preached this morning. I pray, God, that you'd talk to each heart and that you'd draw each one in. Father, stir the church this morning. Lord, show us our sin, Lord, that we'd confess it and get it right before you. I pray, God, that you'd meet the need of the hour. And Father, most of all, if there's one here that's lost and know not thee in their free pardon of sin, Lord, would you just draw them this morning, Lord, that they'd come to you before it be forever too late. God, thank you for being so good to us. But most of all, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, taking our place. Father, thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, would you just touch us this morning, anoint us and help us, and hide us behind the cross, and make preaching easy. Set a guard about our lips that, Lord, we wouldn't say anything foolish or fleshly, confusing or misleading. But God, would you just move in a mighty way. Lord, don't let nothing or nobody quench the Spirit this morning. Lord, we just give ourselves to you. And Lord, we pray that whatever you do will be right. In the precious name of Jesus, I do humbly pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 there. He's giving some instructions there. And we can see a lot of times in life that the Christian, a lot of people look at the Christian or a lot of people that claim to be Christians, they'll say that once you get saved, that's all there is to it. Just get saved and just take each day by day, and then whatever comes your way, you'll be able to handle it. But that's not the case today. That's not what Paul is teaching Timothy in this letter that he's telling him. He said there's some things that you've got to do, and what I want to talk to you about this morning is there's some things that it's going to take for you to live for God. And I hope that's your prayer this morning that you can live with God. But it's going to take some things to do that. It's not just getting saved. It's not just showing up at church. It's not just the giving of your tithes and your talents. It's an everyday thing that you have to do if you're going to walk with God.
Amen.
And I'm going to stop being a Christian if you ain't going to walk with God. That's part of being a Christian, is walking with God. It's doing what God wants us to. It's about our service. It's about our calling. And we're going to go through some things here today about what Paul told Timothy. He said there's some things you got to go with. Now, it's not a church constitution or things like that, and all that's good, and bylaws, we can have all that. But I'm telling you, the greatest help we'll have as a Christian is to get our Word of God and live by it. Apply it to our lives. He said you need to study these things. You need to meditate on these things. You need to listen to what you've been taught. Paul wrote this, and he said you've had some good things growing up. But the time we're going to have to come to this morning, you need to have some good measures to help you to come it up. And I did. I'm going to give you another thing, too. I got on the grave today when I was getting old. That helps me. Pray for me. That wants to straighten me out. And let me tell you something. If I'm wrong about anything in this word, I'm going to be straight.
faith right here. He said, I'm going to open up your mind and your understanding about the things that it's going to take for you to live for God. Somebody might be here today and might say, we heard in some school that it's preaching work. He's talking to such a Timothy again. He's a minister sometimes. He's a preacher sometimes. Maybe these verses are just geared toward preachers. No, these verses are geared toward all Christians. You see, everybody is in the ministry where they get saved. Everybody is called a preacher. Everybody's in ministry where they get saved right there. When God saves you, there's some things about your life that you need to show others. Everybody is in the ministry. But I don't want to be back in college until I save you. Just like somebody said, I'm going to go to heaven just so I'm saved. What are they going to get time saved? It's whatever God calls you on. This life ain't on your timetable. You know we have prayers, we have schedules, and we put things there of how we want to do things. But to walk a Christian life, it's not what you want to do, it's what God wants to do through you. It's what's important for us. A lot of times we think it's us. Let me give you something. Let me go ahead and hurt everybody's feelings in here and have a little bit of feelings. God don't leave you. We need you.
Amen.
God's going to bless you. There's some people that walk up there from the church and they say, this ain't what he does. I'm gone. Well, he's not the greatest side of God's door. He's right.
Amen.
But God's going to bless you. You can't be a lady. God's going to bless you. God doesn't want people in his church. And I don't know who God is in our church. I want people that want to be a part of our family, that want to give glory to God, that want to praise him, that want to sing about him, that want to testify about him. People that want to brag on God, people who want to serve God, people who want to love God. That's the people I want in the church.
Amen.
I read the Bible, but it says, instead of work, it doesn't bring drama, bring beads, bring things like that. It's going to mess you up. Usually, it says, you know what? They're coming to that side door. When they start coming to that side door, we need to feel them right back down. I'm all for that church side that's welcome. You know what? Everybody ain't welcome.
That's right.
Better watch that it's your church. Church, we better watch what we let in here. It's important. The Bible says they're coming here today, wolves and sheep's clothing. Well, my goodness, they know the Bible. Boy, they sure sing a song. Boy, they sure quote that scripture. Boy, they sure say, there are five women dressed right, they call it right, they look right. The Bible says that's the same way the wolves were.
Right.
Well, they must be right. They dare to King James Version. That's a good sign of God. Good thing happened here at King James Bible. That don't make them say it. Don't make them right to God. They've been in church all their life. That don't make them right to God.
Amen.
What's Paul trying to teach this in here? He said, there's some things, it's going to take some things for you to live for God. There's one of us here will please God. How do we know we'll please God? We know God. That's right, the Bible says everything has to be praise God.
Amen.
We know God in this morning, and all God wants to do, brother. That's what he wants you to do. Because if you live for him, you'll obey, you'll be obedient, and you'll love him what he says you live for. Paul says, Timothy, listen to these verses right here. He said, I'm going to teach you something, I'm going to show you something. Let me get into the message. By way of outline this morning, I'm taking notes. It says it's going to take something to live for God. Number one, it takes a transformation. It takes a transformation. You can't live for God, you're lost. That transformation means you must be saved. You must be saved. You must be regenerated. The Bible talks about that regeneration. The Bible talks about it. You got to be saved. There's got to be some strange behavior about you. See, that's what it is. We are sinners by birth. We have to be transformed.
Amen.
We're sinners by birth. We're our own by ourselves. Aware of our own being. Sin enters into the world by us. The Bible says, we sin by birth. We're sinners by behavior. He ain't in you. You always do good. It's been there. I think he's not. I know some of us like to pray ourselves as good moral people, but I'll tell you something about us. There's times when we can be stingy, we can be selfish, we can be frightened. All of that lives inside of every one of us. That might not always be in such a head, but it is inside of every one of us. Paul said, you know, bro, but I'm rich. And one of the things you can live in the flesh, you live in the spirit. But Mark Cooper preached the message one time about this 2:30. He said, if you feed one, you'll starve the other. If you'll feed the spirit, you'll starve the flesh.
Right.
Paul told him also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, where he says, he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Things inside you, things down here. He said, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concealments, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience?
Our hates.
It takes a transformation to listen to God. Preacher, I just want to get saved. I want to do another thing. When you get saved, you are a different walk to about you. People say, well, I want to get saved, but I can't live any way I want to. Sure you can. You can get saved and live any way you want to. You want to want to change. That's the thing. There will be something inside of you that wants to go to church, that wants to listen to that gospel music, that wants to read your Bible, that wants to treat you to everybody in God's time, that wants to be good to people, that wants to forgive people. Those are the things that are coming inside of you when you get saved. That are things that you want to do. I want to love people, that's what I want to do. And I want to tell you something, living out in this world, it's hard to love everybody. That's why the Bible says, strive to live peacefully with all men. He gets down to it. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to live peacefully with all men. The one I've learned is to have peace in my life. I'll separate from loving the pain that they symbolize.
Right. Amen.
You better learn about separation in your life. The Bible teaches that it's your Bible. Yeah. Separate from the world. That's in 2 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 5 says you have to have the separation in your church. Now, everybody in your church, man, you can't know what the real hand starts with. You can't go to the park and make a wall with everybody going to the church. There must be separation in the church. Acts talks about that, Paul. And sometimes preachers have to separate. We know God's vision, but we enter into the church when we get together, but if we separate, we can be about God's
vision.
Amen. Family is going to separate. Genesis chapter number 13. Remember that after him and all, they couldn't live together. They not only fought for God, but their animals fought. Their own animals couldn't even get along. They were fighting with each other. Hey, man, we got two trucks, and you go one way, and I go one way. Any way we can't wait to go, but this ain't working.
Right.
Sometimes we take that faith, and that means Abraham is not going to fight, or even if they say it. Abraham prayed for God, even when he died in the side of the Lord. Abraham was still praying for him. And I believe that God's grace and Abraham prayed is what brought God out of that. But you must make some separation. Sometimes you've got to separate from the same in your life. It takes a transformation. Let me give you another one. It takes trying to look at the verse of the flesh. He said to be thou an example of beliefs. So what you're talking about with shining right here, this being exact, it's saying because of our whole position right here, what we are inside. Right? We are the same being. We are the same soul. Inside the flesh of being is what we are, inside the flesh of body. Well, Paul writes in that gospel, he said, you know what? He said, his spirit is flesh. He said, they're going to have wars. They're going to have battles. You ain't always going to feel like you got to read your Bible. You ain't always going to feel like you got to read your faith. You ain't always feel like when the church comes to work. But you can do that anyway.
Amen.
And when you do that, you can not go to the others of you and what God gives you. Sometimes when I'm on sick and when I'm on fire, if I'm on sick and tired of God, I can never give that to you. Come in, go to the
Amen.
What do you do when he does that? He makes a fire. Strength. Faith and joy, and he'll pick you up. Good God, so good to you. When you serve God, live for God, do what's right with God. He said it takes trying. He said, number one, the faith takes us there to try. Let's look at that. He said in words, right? Way to talk. Does our words bring grace to hear? Does our word boast of Jesus Christ? What kind of jokes do you tell? What kind of language are we talking about? How are we talking around others? Paul said, this is an example of these believers, the way you talk. You ought to have to speak the way you ought to be. Even your thoughts, as Paul said. He said, don't get away with the trouble of people. There ain't no reason to make it stop. There's a lot of people out there in the world that you can't speak to your man today. There's a lot of people out there in the world that you can't speak to your man today. There's a lot of people out there in the world that you can't speak to your man today. Because you think you're a church, because you think you know you are a Christian, they're going to look at every aspect of your life and see if they can find one little thing about that. And you know how you can bag it right there? You just tell them, I ain't perfect. I'm a work I'm not perfect. I'm being bad. He doesn't feel perfect. He doesn't feel perfect somewhere else. But it ain't me.
Amen.
It ain't me. But I see my Lord this morning. I'm saying to every minister, and I'm going to teach this man more to be this morning.
Amen.
I love you this morning, but I'm not perfect. I stole it every day. And I tell God every day. But I'm glad that he picked me up. He set my feet on that rock because he knows the same I can't do by myself. It takes a try. He said me words. What else does he say right there? Let's keep going. Any conversation, any conduct, right? More than just words, more than what he taught. Paul said there doesn't need to be. He's not just about to talk. He said it's about to walk.
Right.
You walk. You come. Then he says right there, be sure. What you love and what you do not love speaks volumes about your life. Do you love the things of God? Are you more love than the world? Remember Genesis when that old king came to Abraham and he said, remember he had two kings, King Solomon and King Satan. Which one did Abraham love more? Which one did Abraham go after more? That's the same thing with me and you today. What do we love more? Are we more in love with God or are we more in love with the world? Well, friends, you don't know the world's why I earn my paycheck. No, it's not. God can give you the strength to get up out of your bed. You wouldn't have no paycheck. God can give you the strength to get up out of your bed. Your God don't take care of you. God takes care of you.
Amen.
Cherish what you love. Well, I really don't love the world, but I like that kind of thing. It's all going to come out in testimony, I promise you that. It all comes out where you go, who you're hanging out with, what you listen to. What about the music you listen to? Does it ever find the Lord? You mean, what about the TV shows you watch? Does it ever find the Lord? And I'm going to beg you something, it's hard to find anything you want with your family anymore. Then somebody's family is all they need today, it's their first thing to do on TV. You got to be careful what you let sink into your mind. He said in word, in conversation, he said in charity. He also said in faith, or excuse me, in your spirit. Your attitude, your zeal, your dedication, your devotion to life, your spirit. You ever heard people say, well, they got such a sweet spirit about them. They got such a good spirit about them. Your attitude, the way that you conduct yourself. You know what? You can have a good spirit about you, you can have a bad spirit about you. Way that they talk, the way that they dress, the way that they act,
to know if they have any kind of standard, any kind of order, any kind of faith. Those things are so important, because I want to tell you something. Paul said, told Timothy, he said, be an example. Those who have us to be an example, there are people that watch us. Be an example. What was the first thing Paul told Timothy? Remember verse 12? Let no man despise thy youth. Timothy had been serving. He said, they're coming down, they're not looking down on me. But he said, the way to earn their respect is to live your life in your presence.
Amen.
He said, that's how you're going to respect. You know how you can earn the respect of others around you? Living up in your presence. Let me, okay? You know what? Let me tell you, if I stand for some things, I might lose some friends. They might laugh at me, they might make fun of me. You know what? It's just my getting close to walk with Jesus. It's the most important thing. When all of them walk out of your life, that's when Jesus is going to walk in. There's only people that lead you in your walk of life. You're going to have relationships that fail in your life. You're going to have friendships that fail in your life. You're going to have jobs that go away in your life. You're going to have family members that can walk out of you in your life. But the one person that will never walk out of you is God.
Amen.
I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. God will not ever abandon you. You might be here today, your own mom and dad. You know what Psalms 27 says? Well, my mother probably leave me, and the Lord will take me
up. Amen.
God said, he'll leave me. He'll always be with you. He'll walk with you, and all you want you to do is walk with him. He'll take you all the way to the end of the world. All the way there. It's going to take something to live for God. It takes transformation. It takes strife. Let's keep going. It takes time. Verse 13 says, till I come, give attention. Take time. Verse 13 talks about me. Verse 15 talks about me. Let's say. It's going to take some time for you to study if you want to live for God. Well, preach right up, lay out the Bible. Well, how much time can you put in your Bible? Herbert Blood Stewart said one time, he said, we're only going to get our faith in this book. Y'all get that a little bit. We get our faith in this book, brother. It helps. It takes time for study. Let me tell you what else it takes time for. It takes time for supplication. Matthew 6:6, remember that when Jesus talking about his prayer closet? How do you think you're going to have a place where you have a prayer closet? I can even get in my closet, my closet's so full. You don't have to have an actual closet to pray in. What he tells us right there is you need to find a new place to steal away from the world.
Amen.
You got to get a better place on the road. You can't pray with the TV on there. You can't pray with the radio playing. You can't pray with the kids all in the year and say, Mom, Daddy, I need you to get it. You can't pray all that stuff. Still, find you a place for supplication and steal away and pray. And if Jesus talked about it, he said that he withdrew from the wilderness and prayed. He got away from everybody that was going on in the world. The world was all our mind. The devil was nothing. Let's say on to our nation.
It takes time to take care of you. It says in verse 16, continue in them. What does continuing mean? We talked about that. It's an old time way of continuing this. I love to sing out in the church hymns. I love that. I love the most songs that sing about the blood and the book that bless the hope. I love those songs where you're lost in the blood. I love victory in Jesus. I love I'll Fly Away. I love Amazing Grace. I love when I travel my last mile, I can't hold my head. I love those songs. I love it when I hear preaching at the King James Bible. I know preaching on the list. I mean, you can't tell me 35 more. I can't tell you how you go. I know this is the truth right here. I want to get to my friends. We have King James Bible. And I want to continue in that kind of teaching in my life, that doctrine, that instruction that I need. Why is that? So we will spiritually progress in life.
Amen.
He said, it's like God's gift. Let me tell you something. If you don't exercise the gift that God gives you, you're losing. It takes exercise. It takes you. Friends, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't always know what the gifts are. God gave me the gifts. I promise I'll let you know. Ask God what the gift is. Let us know what the gift might be. It might just be friends in your church. It might be the gift of God. It might be your smile. It might be your hug. It might be your encouraging word. It might just be your faithful attendance in God's house is what your gift is.
Amen.
It might be that you can do things first. It might be that you always send the best part. Some of the Lord sends good cards too. He brags and recommends it. It's God that puts it in his voice. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a text. Maybe you know what? You might have pictured words together. I struggle with that. Putting my words together. My heart can be in the right place. And then, buddy, my words just be all tangled up. And I don't even know what I'm saying. What's listening to my head? When it starts to happen, then Lord bless you. That's all I hear about that. God knows. You take those things. You take care of it. You take care of it. A life without self-discipline is like a ship without a captain. It takes a turn. What you got to turn away from? You need to turn away from sin, from self, and from Satan. That's the thing you need to turn from. Friends, I just turn from things, don't you need to turn to things? You need to turn to God's will, God's work, God's way.
Amen.
That's what you need to turn to. It takes a turn for you to live for God. I'm here to come to heaven this morning. It also takes trusting this morning. You want to live for God, it takes trusting. Let me read you some verses right here. Out of, y'all probably know these verses. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs door of door. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Let's read 5 and 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Now, this one is acknowledgement. You know what this acknowledgement means? It means no God on a personal level. Rather, it's a big issue of God. That is a big issue of us and God. It means to know about God. To acknowledge that. Then he'll defend our path. That's where we go wrong sometimes. You know where you or I go wrong sometimes? I've got to make my own path. I've got to plan my own path. I've got to decide what I want to do for the day. I've got to make my own path for the day. That's what God says to us. I need to believe in God. I need to trust in us. I need to trust him with my soul. He knows what he did. He's good at being God. There's nobody else can be good at being God. And all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from me. Trust him. Trust him with your soul, trust him with your substance. It's all about you. You know what else you trust him with? You can trust him for your security today. The Bible says God is refuge. You know that in Psalm 46? Yes, let me give you another one. We don't read too much. Psalms 9, verse 10. Bible says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. You know what that tells me? If I go looking for God, he's already looking for me.
Amen.
He ain't going to forsake me. He'll be there. When I go seeking him, he's already seeking me. The last one today, let me tell you something it takes to live a song. Let me tell you something a lot of people struggle with. takes years. It takes years. Let me give you that right here. It takes years. We need to weep over, weep for our sins. You know, I'm afraid sometimes we weep not because we sin, because we get caught in sin. That sorrow, our sin should lead to a changed behavior. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:17, God's sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. You ain't going to repent if you have God's sorrow in your heart. You ain't going to get saved until you repent of your sins.
Amen.
I don't care what kind of prayer somebody's bringing you through. Until you repent, the Bible says, repent, you shall not perish. You ain't going to be born again until you repent of your sins. That's God. But that all comes from God's sorrow. Tears. Weeping for our sins. Weeping for our service. Psalms 125, verse 5 and 6 talks about that. Well, if you know what the Bible says, if we sow in tears, then we'll reap in joy. That's what the Bible says right there. Everybody's really getting tears about it. The last one. We need to shed some tears over souls. Over souls. We need to shed tears over our limbs. Over our loved ones. Over our losses. And I'm just going to be honest with you, Lord. This morning, that thing's transparent. You know when I've shed the most tears over my family? It's when they're hurt. Why am I not shedding tears for God who cares about me? Why am I not shedding tears for other people who cares about me? Why is it that we're to let everything off the mark and then we're going to shed tears? Why is that the thing? Now, I'm not saying that all the time, but I'm just going to be honest with you. That's the thing you talk about when I leave, but something's wrong with me, I guess.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. I would like to tell you that my faith was all the way up here, but I worry about the faith in my life.
Right?
We all care if we wake up and say, well, it's worried about it, you need to pray about it. Yes, that's true. You need to pray about it. But I'm just going to tell you, I'm just a main Christian, and I don't worry about it. I worry about my kids, what they're going to say. That's not always going to be here. Mom's not always going to be there. This world doesn't get no better. This story doesn't go through.
Right.
I don't care what all of them try to tell you, what they try to say, you know, it ain't getting no better. But we need to be sowing some tears, and I'm going to tell you something. You know, we'll sow some tears, and our children that have a head about them, we'll reap in joy. I believe God will take care of them. God will take care of them. When's the last time we just waked up somebody else being lost? And I'm telling you this because it's so important. We put so much of a perspective on when they're sick, right? When people get sick, people get a bad diagnosis. People get diabetes, people get cancer, people get infection. People have things that go wrong with them. People are already. People have a head injury. People have a back injury. And you know what? We feel right there. We weep. Why are we weeping when they're lost and on the way down and going to hell? Why are we not people close? Why is it that it's just, well, it's so serious when you sit in the house and say, let me tell you something. To be absent from the body, to be present from the Lord, everybody's going to miss God. Not everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to miss God. We're going to stand before God. When's the last time? You know what? This is something big when we wake up and lost people. You know what? It might be what gets God's attention. It might not be the words you say. It might be the tears that come down your face.
That's right.
I'm glad today, David, we can serve a God and to read our tears.
Amen.
I can't read the tears. A lot of times we look and we see somebody with tears going down their face and we say, what's wrong with them? What could it be? It might be that there's not nothing wrong with them. Everything's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything's right. It takes something to live with God. Let's stand together. Are you ready to give what it takes to live with God? How much do you love God? As we stand together, these altars are open. There's something you need to pray about today. Is there something you feel like you might be lacking in your service for God?
Has God put somebody over your in front of your face today that you know is lost? Would you just come pray for them today? What is it that you need, just friend? You pray whatever's on your heart. These altars are open. What do you need today? Do you feel like God tells you that you are lacking in your service to God? Maybe it's your talking. Maybe it's your walk. Maybe you're holding back on God. Maybe you're not giving God your all. Let me tell you something. You know why God deserves our all? Because He gives us His all. He said, I'll give my Son for our sin. I'll give you somebody to die in your place. What is it that you need to pray about today? This isn't a question in the ministry. Don't hold your head up. You're not going to ask yourself what's going on in your life. We just want you to tell God. Just tell God whatever you need this morning. Well, preacher, He already knows. He can reach my heart. Yes, it's not just me. Him. I don't need you to come talk to Him. What is it that you need to tell God? What is it that you need to ask God? Preacher, I feel like I'm asking for so much. Let me tell you something. You know what? You can ask any place from God that you need to be God. Don't be afraid to have big prayer requests. Don't be afraid to have big visions and big dreams. We got to be God to take care of all. What is it you need today? Preacher, you still have a cold shoulder. Let me tell you something. That means me and I still have a cold shoulder. You know what it is? It's our sins that we let build up and we don't confess them. Or we let things get in the way of our prayer time. Our prayer time is so much more important. A lot of people say, well, you're coming to church, it's about singing songs, and it's about preaching the word. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of what? Of prayer. Prayer. Prayer is what gets us close to God. Prayer is what we need to God. The greatest service we could ever have might not be who sings, who preaches. It might just be that we met to pray. It might just be that we met to pray. A lot of times we think, well, if the preacher don't use the whole hour, then we probably didn't get all God's blessings today. Sometimes we get to pray, my goodness, the preacher went over this morning, so sometimes we're wrong. We're not on the time frame. I don't care if the clock's 11:30 or if it's 5:30. I just want to follow God today. That's what's important. If you're going to live for God, you must have a slow time frame. You'll never put a time frame on your service for God. Let me tell you something. And I'm done. But you don't have to be one day. You might be one morning. God may be one on Sunday morning. It might be 12:20, 12:30 when we get to the church. And a lot of people say, what if we just leave by the way? But you might not get a word from God at the time. Don't you want Him to help you this morning? Don't you want Him to help your family this morning? Don't you want Him to help you with your struggles this morning? Whatever it is, you can give to God. You can take it.